You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to this edition of the Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill. This time we're looking ahead to the action that's coming up on Thursday, the 16th of January. You can join Luke Elder, Gareth Topham and Ross Bridie. They're going to be your team in the studio throughout the day on Thursday, bringing you action from meetings from Ludlow, Market Race and Wincanton, provided it passes its inspection in the morning, of course, at 8 a.m. And Newcastle, that's our evening meeting to look forward to. So lots of racing, hopefully lots of winners to be found. And hoping to do that is the man I'm sat next to. That's Paddy Aspel. Hello, Paddy. How are you?
How are you, John?
Yeah, good. Good to have you with us on the podcast once again. Have you been well recently?
Yeah, good, thanks.
Fantastic. And have you been enjoying yourself on Racing Radio today? Sam Norris and the owner, mayor of the team with you?
Yeah. I was in yesterday as well. Unfortunately, it was cut short, wasn't it? Chelmsford was called off last night due to high winds, but some good action as well today. I'm only here on the single shift, but we're having a good time. And to be fair, probably, winners-wise, we're maybe having a bit more joy today.
Well, we've also got good racing to look forward to on the weekend. We've been talking a lot this week on the podcast about the Grade 1 Clarence House, Paddy. So I kind of wanted to look away from Ascot today on the podcast and look towards our other big meeting we've got coming up. And that is Peter Marsh Day at Haydock. And we'll start off by taking a look at the big race itself, the Peter Marsh. It's the 2:40 on Saturday. And at the moment, we've got 6-1 co-favourites, Acting Lass, Definitely Red and Prime Venture. Geronimo 7-1, also 7-1 for Midnight Tune. Champers on Ice is 8-1, Vintage Clouds 8-1. And bigger prices for the rest, or the betting, of course, available for the weekend's action on the William Hill website or on the app. And Paddy, of course, first of all, it's important to mention that we haven't had final declarations for these races, so not all of these are definite runners, but based on the race as we see it now, it is a typically competitive renewal of this contest.
It is, and to be fair, very wide open, 6-1 plus the field, isn't it? But Acting Lass is at the top there, joint fav with the old boy, you would say, of the party, Definitely Red. Plenty of the runners in the lineup here, John. I will say, you know, you wouldn't call them young horses, even by jumping terms. You know, Definitely Red has just turned 11. Champers on Ice is 10. Or Vintage Clouds, to be fair, I actually thought he'd be older than 10. But, you know, at least you know what you're going to get with the likes of Vintage Clouds, especially around Haydock. He's got a real love for the place. So for me, I was really looking for some younger legs. But, I mean, I think the youngest in the lineup that I seen was the Klondike, who was an 8-year-old. Calypso Collins is an 8-year-old. So that was about as good as it was going to get, really. But for me, I liked Anthony Honeyball's Midnight Tune. I just certainly think it's been very, very good this year. Very consistent. He's got a lovely racing weight of 10 stone, too, if the decks go as the weights are laid out at the minute. The other one I liked in here as well, which I thought was going to be a massive price, was Claude and Goldie for the Sandy Foster team. He probably, for me, although he's 11, I wouldn't actually think he's that well handicapped yet, but conditions are going to be pretty testing there on Saturday. I know for a fact that's one thing that Claude and Goldie will certainly handle. He's very tough. He's got a real liking for Kelso, has Claude and Goldie, but Richie McLernan, who rides him regular, knows him very well. And it's interesting that Sandy Foster is prepared to have a tilt at a race like this. You know, there'll be no hiding place. They'll go a good gallop, and it really will be survival of the fittest. But I think, like we mentioned a few minutes ago, the betting is very, very wide open. It's quite a tight race. Sandy Thomas's team are a very good order. They've also got Geronimo in there who's looking to go back-to-back. And like I say, it all depends on what's declared, because some of these horses could be left in off a real nice racing weight. But as far as going forward, the winner of the race, I thought Midnight Tune would probably be my main selection. But if the weights do stay as they are, I think for place purposes, for me, Claude and Goldie would definitely be on the scene.
So you mentioned Claude and Goldie. Earlier on, you mentioned Calypso Collange and the Klondike, the 8-year-old. I was just thinking about some of the younger horses in the field here. Obviously, you've gone for an 11-year-old. But do you think there is a certain advantage to being younger fresher legs for a start off, but also in terms of the handicap mark might be a little bit less exposed as well, potentially.
Yeah, and like even them younger horses I looked at, I was mainly looking at a bit more scope for improvement sort of angle, but really I wasn't really finding it, if I'm honest. So I was happy to go with some older legs, because, like I said, it's very, very little between them age-wise. But like I say, it's going to be a very, very tough race, but a lovely prize on offer. Like I say, it won't be for the faint-hearted, and you've got to stay, you've got to jump, and it'll be a proper test, as it should be.
Yeah, one of the better meetings of the year at Haydock, and following the Peter Marsh, another race on the card is the 3:15. This is the race that used to be known as the Champion Hurdle Trial, but after the new one turned up and won it almost every year, they've renamed it in honour of the grey horse, the new one. I think this is the second year possibly that it's had that name. Pentland Hills is currently the 6-4 favourite, 7-2 Call Me Lord, Durasso 4-1, 9-2 Bally Andy, Cornerstone Lad is 5-1, 9-1 Song for Someone, and it's bigger prices for the rest. Again, this isn't the final field yet. Paddy, my first question is Pentland Hills. Okay, he was a good winner of the Triumph, but for a horse who came out and ran like he did first time out this season, he's quite short, 6-4, isn't he?
Well, I suppose he is. I think maybe people, you will always forgive a horse one bad run. And I mean, look, I think it's quite basic to say that, oh, he blew up, he needed his first run. But me and Wizard spoke about it yesterday about Pentland Hills, because we had some people emailing in, some listeners asking. And I mean, the thing is, when a horse blows up, making their comeback run, you don't mind them getting tired and fading out of it, but fading out of it gradually compared to how Pentland Hills did. I know he went round at Cheltenham that he overraced on very bad ground, but you stop the race going to the last hurdle, he's going to win. For me, and then you stop the race at the line, he's not even in the picture.
Well beaten in the end.
He was, and I said that for me the difference is, it's like driving a car up a hill and you can lose some momentum and slow down a bit. That's okay. You're going to get to the top of the hill. But in a car, which Pentland Hills to me visually looked like he did, he's cut out, which I don't like to see. As I said, every horse is entitled to get tired on the comeback run, and especially the way he went round, as he has done in the past, but on bad ground, he was entitled to get tired and have a blow. But I don't know. I mean, I love the horse. I just think he done so well considering how late he went hurdling. As far as, because I'm pretty sure the first race he won at Plumpton was after the turn of the year. Then obviously his next run was Cheltenham, where he made a real bad mistake at the first, still won. And we're talking about a horse who was only rated sort of high 60s, low 70s on the level. I mean, he's a freak of an animal, really, for what he went on to achieve. And then won at Aintree, where again he overraced, but obviously a flatter track, better ground, he got away with it. But he grounded out that day and just sort of showed that he had a bit of metal about him. But he did show that he is prone to, you know, just do enough under his jockey, which unfortunately he did at Cheltenham on his comeback, and he didn't get away with it. I mean, we've not seen him since, obviously, and that was 35 days ago. I just hope that maybe they might have found something small with him, because for me he just sort of cut out a little bit too quickly. But I'll always forgive a horse one bad run, absolutely no problem in that. But obviously conditions are going to be pretty testing again, so we've got to see how he settles, and you really got to take note of the early part of the race, which for punters is no good. So you've just got to keep your fingers crossed that they have got him relaxed and settled, and he can help Nico de Bonneville as much as he can by just racing within himself.
Well, what about some of the other runners? Call Me Lord's been in good form so far this season. Bally Andy's always been thereabouts in similar races to this. And Cornerstone Lad, let's not forget, a Grade 1 winner last time.
Yeah, Cornerstone Lad, he has gone under the radar a little bit, obviously because of that injury to Nicky's horse that day. But, you know, make no mistake, he certainly is a horse on the improve. He's only 6, so he is pretty low mileage, and he's in good hands. And he showed a very good attitude that day, and they were well clear of the third, so I suppose he is going to get cribbed because of the circumstances of what did unfold afterwards, but he certainly deserves his place in the lineup, that's for sure. Handicapper thinks he's worthy of a mark of 159, which is well near the top in this race. But it just shows you, I said about forgiving a horse one bad run, I mean look at what price Ribble Valley is, 12-1, and I mean I've heard from someone who is involved with the Nicky Richards Yard, saying he's River Valley is the best I've had for a long time.
He's been a big talking horse, hasn't he?
Yeah, he really has. I mean, look, it didn't go well at all at Ascot. You know, conditions on the day were horrid. But, you know, prior to that, he really looked like a horse who was on the improve. So, but, you know, conditions, they're given straight heavy again for Saturday, which I'm sure Nicky Richards would prefer not to have to tackle again. But what can he do? He's got to get him out. There's only certain types of races he's going to be able to run this chap in now at the minute. So his hand is maybe forced a little bit. But I wouldn't be surprised to see him bounce back, River Valley, because, like I said, he is held in some real high regard at that Nicky Richards stable.
So you're giving Pentland Hills another chance here? You take him on for a pick?
No, I mean, I'm a big Pentland Hills fan, simply because, like I said, what he achieved so quickly last year, and to defy, you know, that mark that he had on the level and achieve what he did over hurdles, he's just a bit of a freak, really. So I'm hoping that he does obviously come forward for the Cheltenham run, and if there was one or two little niggly issues, that hopefully they've got it ironed out, and hopefully he can settle and help Nico just to get through these heavy conditions on Saturday, because he's going to need to.
Currently the 6-4 favourite for the new one hurdle over at Haydock, and that'll let us take a look at your selections for the action we've got coming up on Thursday, Paddy, and I believe they both run at Ludlow.
Yeah, I've gone to Ludlow tomorrow. I went first of all in the 12:50 with one of Huey Morrison's here. Regular rider for Huey Morrison, Tom O'Brien, is on board. Moon of Baroda ran to a fair level on the flat, and that was a real good effort on hurling debut last time at this track, where he chased home a winner who had a BHA rating of 125, so although no match for the winner at all that day, it was a very, very good run, and we hadn't seen him prior to that since July on the level of Chepstow, so he was entitled maybe to come off for the run a little bit as well. And like I said, he does have Hijack to beat in there, because that was very, very impressive last time out, and that's course and distance form as well. Nico de Boinville takes the ride there, but like I said, I just think he's got a very good strike rate, Huey Morrison, although he did have one slightly disappoint earlier in the afternoon today at Newbury. I think conditions today, straight heavy ground, found that one out. But Moon of Baroda for me in the first at Ludlow to get Tom O'Brien and Huey Morrison off to a winning start.
And I believe your other pick is in the 220, which is a race we actually already have betting for at time of recording, so I'll just read out the prices. Amazar Guard 11-8, 2-1 at its own expense, Knight of Sin 5-1, 11-2 for Town Parks, and Minella for me is 14-1 for this handicap chase.
Yeah, I mean, your favourite here of Charlie Long's is he finally put it together the last day at Catrick and got himself back in the winner's enclosure, and the form of that race has worked out okay, because my mate Bob, who was in behind, he's gone in and won again since. But I've actually gone for the top weight here for the Hobbs team. Has only had the couple of starts over fences, but really hasn't done an awful lot wrong. Wasn't good first time at Sandown back in November, but ran reasonable off a mark of 1.28, but much better at Taunton last time in a class 3 where he finished third off a mark of 1.25. He's got to give weight all round here tomorrow, but like I said, is unexposed, has got some experience in a point to point as well, but you know, connections have a hung around over hurdles and they've cracked on, and I think this chap for the Hobbs team, who are in very good order, stable jockey Dickie on board, can get off the mark for me at the third time of asking over fences round this pretty flat galloping track at Ludlow tomorrow.
And it's an expense then for Paddy in the 220 at Ludlow. All the racing from Ludlow live on Racing Radio, of course. Also Market Raisin and Wincanton. Hopefully it goes ahead. Newcastle in the evening. And don't forget that you can watch Newcastle free to air on William Hill Betting TV as well. Don't need to place a bet to see the action at Newcastle on Betting TV. So we hope you enjoy that and the rest of the day's action. And Paddy, thanks as always for joining us on the podcast.
No problem. Cheers, John.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.